Are we here? Are we good? Good morning, everyone. I'm hoping.
Hi there.
That you can hear me. Hold on. We got extra audio coming in. Good morning. Hi. This is Patrick Bromley from FThisMovie.net. Hoping that I am currently live and in your ears for the next 18 hours for the F Breast Cancer Podcast-a-thon to raise money for the Magnolia Tree Foundation. I'm not sure that anyone is hearing what I'm saying right now. So as soon as I have that confirmed, okay, nope. Okay, hi everyone. Just ignore what's happening right now. I thought we'd be off to a much better start. I may just start us over again. Right now we're trying to fix the link on the website so that people can be listening to us live through the website for the people who don't know how to find us through YouTube Live. But I'm not 100% sure how to make that happen right now. So I'm trying to figure that out. But good morning. Hi. Thank you for those of you who woke up early, or if you are elsewhere in the world, who I guess it's the middle of the day for you. But thank you guys, anybody who tuned in for the start of this 18-hour live podcast-a-thon. I'm going to get JB on the Skype very soon, as soon as I figure out how to fix these technical issues. If these podcasts are saved, then I'm going to cut out that long silence where I try to figure out what the hell I'm doing. But in the meantime, I'm still trying to figure out how to fix the wrong video being linked to the site. And maybe Doug, who I know is listening, can do that for me. And he's actually texting me right now, want me to take a crack at fixing it. Yes, I do. I just need you, Doug, to embed the video into the homepage of our site. And I will continue with the show, I guess, while you work on fixing that. Sorry to anybody who was trying to listen to us at fthismovie.net. Anyway, we're going to be here for the next 18 hours until 2 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have a terrific lineup of guests. Almost all of the F This Movie regulars, hopefully all, actually, if we can make that happen. We have Barbara Crampton, who's going to be Skyping in. We have Joe Lynch, who's going to be Skyping in. I recorded an interview with Adam Green that we're going to be playing. Author Joe Madry will be Skyping in to talk about his new book about Westerns, and Heath Holland is going to be joining us for that. And as of like the middle of the night last night, I believe we're going to be getting on the phone at one point with Kelly Maroney of Night of the Comet and Fast Times at Ridgemont High and Chopping Mall, soon to be released on Blu-ray. So I'm going to try to Skype in JB right now and hear about Monster Bash and hope that we're able to embed the player into the website. I know everybody's saying like, hey, just post a link. But it's not that easy because the link, at least from the dashboard that I'm looking at, is not showing. This is fun though. This is like do it yourself and you guys get to listen as I do it myself. So, all right, let's call Jay Bones on the Skype machine. All right, here we go. Jay Bones is in Pittsburgh, I believe, attending Monster Bash.
Hello.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, and I'm here to tell you that I am surrounded by Secret Service agents. I'm in an undisclosed location. Doug, too, is in an undisclosed location. Mr. Bromley, if anything should happen to you, we are prepared to step in.
Thank you. Thank you. This is good to know. How's Monster Bash going?
It's going really well. It's really, really good. I haven't been here in many, many years, but they moved to a different hotel that's much more amenable to the stuff they want to do.
For example, like what makes this one good versus others that are bad.
The ballroom is bigger. The ceilings are higher. My memory of the old place was that it was very oppressive. There are more dealers in the dealer room. There are more engaging guests. The list of programming, it's you've had this experience. What do I do next? What do I do next? What do I do next? And obviously you can't do everything because there's things that are scheduled at the same time. But so far I'm having a hell of a time. And Pittsburgh is delightful.
What kind of stuff did you check out yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you.
Please do. We have a lot of time to fill.
Have I mentioned that people should donate to the Magnolia Tree Foundation?
I think you have.
I think we've been hitting that pretty big this week. And Alexa was one of my coworkers. I've been teaching for more than 30 years, and you see all kinds of teachers, and she was one of the good ones. She was one of the ones who was in it for the right reasons, and she was terrific with her kids. And she was taken from us far too early. So this charity has a great aim. It's to get information and early testing available so that more women can get cured.
Yeah, that's awesome. I, you know, we'll come back to Monster Bash in a second, but I was when I had gone to the memorial service for her, you know, there was over 1,000 people there. It was held at the high school where she taught and where you work. And there was over 1,000 people, and just hearing all of the stories about how she affected people's lives and the way that she kind of committed to everything. I don't know. I'm so rarely genuinely inspired by anything because I'm such a miserable, cynical human being that hearing that was... I don't know. I felt like, okay, I want, what can I do? You know, I want to do something to help the Magnolia Tree Foundation and kind of help her see this dream through. And, you know, the only platform I have is this podcast. So that's kind of how this marathon came to be.
Instead of rolling over, she kept teaching, which I thought was very courageous. And she sort of used it to inspire her students, because say what you want, whatever the kid is facing, either socially or economically or academically, I think it tended to pale beside what Alexa was going through. And I actually heard a lot of kids say, well, if she can do that, I can surely do this, which is a high order indeed. She's very missed. There's been this sort of sadness in the English department the whole year. But I think we should celebrate her life. And again, I would really like to encourage everyone to give what you can to the Magnolia Tree Foundation, because I really can't think of any higher purpose than to save people's lives. I know Alexa had noticed something was wrong and went to her doctor. And the doctor said it was fine, that she could wait for her next scheduled mammogram. And the way she told it, she said, no, I'd like to have one now. And that's when they found it. And obviously what she had was really, really bad. But could it be that whatever time she did have was based on the fact that she got in and she got tested early? So that can't be overstressed. And I don't want to bring everyone down this early in the morning, but this is why we're here. And Alexa was a really, really great person and an inspiration. So I'd really like to encourage everyone to donate.
Yes, please do. The the GoFundMe link is all over our fthismovie.net page. You can find lots of places to donate whatever you can. You know, I understand some people can only afford, you know, $5, but then donate $5 because it's obviously very worth it. One of the things that has really struck me in the process, in the kind of the ramp up to this event, is just hearing from how many people who were immediately like, hey, how can I help? And then almost every single person had a story about how either they or someone close to them has been affected by breast cancer or just cancer in general. You know, it is something that obviously touches all of us. So let's do what we can.
And during the next hour, my lovely wife is going to speak to that more specifically. in terms of her adventure. And I think she can talk about that a lot better than I can. This is really starting to make me very, very sad thinking about Alexa. So I think I'd rather talk about Abbott and Costello.
Okay, let's do it.
Monster Bash features an Abbott and Costello tribute band. It's two guys who dress up like Abbott and Costello, and they do Abbott and Costello routines, and they're really, really good. Their promotional materials say after 5 minutes, you kind of forget that it's not them. And as I walked in the bash, that's what was going on. So I sat down and watched. And obviously, they finish with the Who's on First routine, which is there any piece of comedy that's more durable? I know I used to show it, I used to play it in my freshman class. I can't remember anymore why I did. It'll come to me. But
I
that
actually
is
I
a.
use a version of it in a class that I teach, and I'm always amazed at how few people know it.
And here's my question, because clearly a lot of times when you're exposing young people to things in class, you run the gamut of people who have heard it 50 times, people who've never heard it. Do your students think it's funny?
Yeah, they laugh.
It's really funny. Not only the conceit of it, but the way it's performed. So the extra special thing of yesterday afternoon's Abbott and Costello performance is that the gentleman who plays Costello, it was really his birthday. So they brought a cake on stage to celebrate his birthday. And he was obviously touched. I think it was a surprise, and they were encouraging everyone to have a piece of cake. And then, in an obviously prearranged bit, the Abbott guy started complaining that he didn't get anything, at which point someone came up and gave him a pie in the face.
Ha-ha.
No. I think we put on our hipster coat and we laugh up our sleeve at this, but have you ever seen someone really get a pie in the face live?
I mean, I feel like I have.
It's funny. And he took it like a champ, so to speak. At this point, I go into the dealer's room, which is amazing and delightful, and I don't think I even got through half of it. Patrick, you're familiar with the dealer's room at Flashback Weekend?
I am.
Picture three times as big
Holy cow.
and a much more diverse collection of dealers. In fact, I was really surprised. One guy had his own ballroom off to himself. A lot of original stuff, like original posters and things, way out of my price range, but it's always really nice to sort of see those things. Oh, I've looked at this in a book for 5 years. This is the real thing. And Wes Shank, who is a collector, has a table set up. And I think I missed his talk because of what time my plane came in. But he had a table set up. He owns original props and costumes from Forbidden Planet.
Like something that Anne Francis wore. See
How
how I go
interesting
directly?
that
I
you
go
would,
directly
yeah,
to
that
that.
you go directly to Anne Francis. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I walk up to the table, and you've heard me quote this 78,000 times. Belloc's line from Raiders of the Lost Ark. We walk through history, Dr. Jones. This is history. So, in a glass case on his table is one of the little laser blaster guns.
Nice.
I mean, the real prop that they used in the film. And then to the left of that is Leslie Nielsen's spaceship, the model that they actually used in the film. And I said, can I take pictures? And he said, of course. And he flipped a switch, and I wasn't quite sure. I looked around to see what he was flipping on. He was flipping on the bottom of the ship, which has like rotating lights when it lands, so that my picture would be much improved. He has one of the electronic sentinel gates that they use to keep out the id monster. It still works. He has one of the laser rifles, and he has one of Morbius's costumes, not Anne Francis, Morbius.
That's almost as hot.
Sorry. And
Almost.
then on the little card, On the little card next to the costume, it's Morbius's sort of brown suit. He also has other times that costume was used in movies and TV. Because MGM used stuff over and over again.
Right.
But that was a highlight. And then I wandered into the movie room early because I wanted to make sure I had a seat for this documentary. And I guess they were running late because I walked in on a film screening called Sorry, Wrong Number.
Okay.
Have you ever seen it?
Is that the
Barbara
Tony?
Stanwyck, Burt Lancaster?
Oh, no, I have not.
See, I discovered yesterday afternoon that I've been confusing this film for decades with Dial M for Murder. So any dark, murderous film that revolves around the telephone, I basically think is the same film. So I think my whole life I've been living a lie because I thought I have seen Sorry, Wrong Number. I have never seen Sorry, Wrong Number, and it's a terrific film noir. You sit down, and when I sat down, I didn't even know what film was playing because I didn't check the schedule. And is there any genre that informs you more quickly what you're watching than noir?
Porn? I don't know. Actually, that's not even true because you could go, you know, 10, 15 minutes and you're like, what is this
Oh, this
poorly
seems to
made
be.
detective movie?
This is a badly shot film about a pizza delivery man who doesn't feel he's going to be paid. How will this dramatic situation be resolved? Clearly, the scantily clad woman, the hungry woman, has no way of paying this man. How will this be resolved?
Oh, I see you've seen
No,
Hungry Women. We're here all day, folks, literally.
you make me laugh. So I'm watching this, and I would say within two shots, it's just so noiry noir, and it's not sort of your standard noir. It's kind of a little bit different. I guess it's based on a famous radio play, but I'm so glad I saw it because it's terrific. And they were showing it because Jimmy Hunt, who was one of the special guests this weekend, has a small part in it. And then the screening was followed by the Q&A with Jimmy Hunt. Now, do you remember the famous part that Jimmy Hunt played?
Nope.
I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
Gee whiz.
That sounds like Dominic Toretto from the Fast and Furious franchise.
You're so close. Jimmy Hunt was the original star of the original Invaders from Mars.
Oh, okay. Oh, now I got it.
And
He has
yeah,
a
and it
cameo in the Tobe Hooper one.
yes,
You got to
which he
put this
spoke
shit in
of,
terms I understand.
which he spoke of yesterday. Because he was a child actor, Jimmy is still very healthy and very vibrant. Because we're losing a lot of the original stars of these monster movies just because it's 2016. But Jimmy Hunt gave a lively Q&A. And before it, they showed sort of a highlight reel of all of his performances, which was really fun to watch. And at one point, someone specifically asked him to say his most famous line. And he quipped that every night he practices it for these conventions and that his wife is getting really sick of him saying it. But he said it, and when he said it, like you could tell he was channeling his 10-year-old self,
Yeah.
and it was delightful. He also told a great story about he is in the film The Fuller Brush Man as an obnoxious kid who keeps plaguing Red Skelton, who's the Fuller Brush Man of the title. And Red Skelton liked to do a lot of his own stunts and sight gags. So there's a point in the film where Skelton steps on Jimmy's skate, his roller skate, and does a header and goes up in the air and lands. And then in the same shot, Jimmy runs in, grabs the skate, and says, "You broke my little skate." So they filmed it, and Skelton did the header, and Jimmy runs in and blows the line. So they got to do it again. They reset the skate. Skelton comes in, amazing. He does it even better, just up in the air, crash, boom, down on his back. Jimmy runs in, screws up the line. At that point, the adult Jimmy Hunt said to us, Red Skelton was one of the nicest people he ever met. But at that point, Red Skelton took him aside and said, kid, this is starting to hurt. And then he got it right on the next day.
Mm. So that's where that famous line, you broke my little skate, comes from.
Yeah, given the audience reaction, Red Skelton was actually on TV when I was very young. But I don't remember it really well. I remember he was more of a clown, and there were all these characters he played, like Clem Cadill Hopper and stuff like that. The thing I most remember is he was very patriotic, and 1/4 of July, he recorded a record for Burger King. And if you bought a Whopper, you got this record. You know, it was one of those cardboard things with the plastic on it.
Right.
And it was him reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and then defining every word with patriotic music in the background.
That sounds boring.
I bet if you went...
I'm so dismissive.
Well, back then, I was so young that anything that would spin on the family's Victrola, anything that would spin and produce sound was fascinating to me. But I bet if anyone's interested, I have a feeling that's on YouTube and you can listen to it anytime that you want. So I was so happy, and as so often happens at these conventions, as you can attest, you sort of sometimes stumble into things that turn out to be highlights. And the Jimmy Hunt interview was really great. And then there was the main attraction, the thing that I wanted to see most for the day. Daniel Griffith is in charge of a group called Ballyhoo Productions that makes these little documentaries that appear on DVD special editions.
Okay.
And there was a question I wanted to ask you, because if you answer in the affirmative, when I go back today, I'm going to pick you up a copy. But the documentary that he was showing last night was about American International Pictures.
I'm not familiar with it.
I believe it's – well, no, because I think it was just finished, and it's not – that's the thing. I was looking for him afterwards because I wanted to say, will this be available for purchase? Will this be the bonus feature on some release that's yet to come out? So I don't know where you can see it. I mean, they screened it last night, and he made it clear that he had just finished it. It's called I Was a Teenage Monster Movie Machine.
I like it.
And it's terrific. It's about 1 hour and 10 minutes long, and it's really, really good. But afterwards, I couldn't find him, so I'm looking forward to talking to him today. But when he introduced the film, he revealed that he had finished a documentary that was just for him and that he was selling it at his table. And it's about some independent filmmaker in the 60s that made a lot of movies in the swamps of Florida.
Okay.
I'll find out and I'll report back later tonight. I think it's called Invasion of the Swamp People or something, but it's about this obscure filmmaker who made all these sort of American International movies on his own and then sold them. And it was a labor of love, and Griffith just sort of became obsessed with it. So I believe it was self-financed, and he's selling it at his table on DVD. And when I looked at it, I thought, this is right up Patrick's alley. But I just assume that you knew who I'm talking about.
No, it doesn't ring a bell. But
it's not Rene Cardona, because I'm reasonably familiar with that whole thing. But I will go back to the convention today, and I will find out, and I will report back.
Thank you.
I also purchased, I guess, the Disney Fan Club put it out in a limited edition. But, of course, there's no such thing as a limited edition when someone, oh, I don't know, might make less than legal copies of something and sell it at a con. Not that I have any knowledge of this whatsoever.
Okay.
The Disney people made a long documentary about the Haunted Mansion.
Okay. Your favorite ride ever?
Yeah.
Unless you're really talking about the Eddie Murphy movie.
No. And, I still weep because there was a time when Guillermo del Toro wanted to make the Haunted Mansion movie and actually have the plot be what the nominal storyline is in the ride about the bride that was left at the altar, etc. But that never happened.
I think that
I've
might still
only
be like
watched.
up in the air, honestly, because I feel like he has
Man.
about 15 different movies that may happen, and I think that might still be one of them.
Every single one of Guillermo del Toro's films, with the possible exception of Eyes in the Hands, is Pan's Labyrinth. I'm convinced that Guillermo del Toro makes films just for me.
But not Pan's Labyrinth?
I think everybody loved Pan's
Oh, okay, got it. I get it.
Labyrinth.
I
That
see.
broke wide. But Pacific Rim and Crimson Peak, I'm sitting there in the theater saying, I'm just enjoying the shit out of this. I don't know how anyone else is reacting, but if I remember correctly, you like Crimson Peak too.
Quite a bit, yeah.
Think that was an example of mismarketing that everyone was going for A, and he was serving up a big dollop of B. So,
B.
this B, delicious, delicious, mouth-watering B. This documentary is terrific, and they talk to most of the guys who put the Haunted Mansion together, with the exception of Mark Davis, who passed away. And it was really, really interesting to see how many different permutations it went through. And it was going to be this, and it was going to be this, because the building at Disney World stood there for almost 10 years before the ride opened. They built the house first.
Weird.
The facade.
Yeah.
And there were all these rumors and things about it. And then eventually they hung a sign outside that said they were auditioning ghosts from all over the world to kind of tease the ride and get people excited. But I think even after the sign went up, it was another 4 or 5 years before it opened. It was going to be a walk-through ride, and it was going to be this, and it was going to be a haunted house, and then a museum of the weird, and then this. And then they decided that if people could walk through it, people would like touch stuff and vandalize it. And then Monsanto came up with the Utilimover mover or something. It was, the dune buggies that you could get people in a vehicle, and the vehicles could actually turn and pitch and stuff. And then the decision was made to do that because then you could put more people through the ride. And then it eventually opened in 1969. But if you get a chance, and I have a feeling that that too is on YouTube. Just fascinating talking to these guys who, as one of them points out, this was our job. This was our job to do this. And they're a bit taken aback by how many people have a really big place in their hearts for the ride.
Do you fear that that ride will someday close?
I don't know. I think Disney is much better at leaving things open that people remember fondly from their childhood and want to share with their kids or grandkids. I mean, I think we've talked about this before, if not on the podcast, then in private. Is there any reason on earth for It's a Small World to still be open?
I think it's just the size, honestly. I think they're just like, I don't know what we would do with this if we, because it is enormous and the longest ride I think I've ever been on. You reach a point where you're like, okay, surely this is wrapping up. No, another world? Okay, great.
No, it only seems that long because the song is so short and
Maybe.
it's repeated so many times. And I think I've made this joke on the podcast. If not, it's one of the best jokes ever. Someone, I forget who, it's in the unofficial guide to Disney World, suggested that It's a Small World would be greatly improved if every visitor was given three softballs upon entering the boat. And I was talking about that with my wife the other night, and I thought, well, you know what? Think about it. That's Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. That's It's a Small World as a shooting gallery.
Yeah.
So they actually did it. Think about the fun. And then after a delicious dinner, I went back to the Monster Bash, and actually, Monster Bash goes really late, later than any other film convention I've ever been to. At 12:30, they showed another movie, The Monster and the Girl, with George Zucco, but they put on an old-fashioned spook show
Okay.
with a magician introducing a film and hypnotizing a woman. And at one point, a gorilla gets loose in the theater, and These were very, very popular in the 40s. A lot of times they were done at midnight, and it was basically a movie. Sometimes it was two movies, and then there was sort of a live stage show where the proprietors tried to scare people in various ways. There were magic tricks and usually some monster of some sort getting loose in the audience. But it was interesting to see these people recreate it because obviously I had read about them and seen movies about the old-fashioned spook shows, but I had never sat through a recreation.
And it was cool.
It was very cool. It was one of the highlights of the day. And then it's way past my bedtime. But apparently, a lot of monster bashers are vampires and only sleep during the day because I went back to the hotel. They then showed another movie.
Holy cow.
They showed the Bela Lugosi movie Night of Terror at 2 o'clock in the morning. And just to show you how into it these people are, I'm sitting here talking to you, and what I'm missing right now at the bash is Saturday morning cartoons and cereal.
That's awesome.
Every Saturday morning in the big ballroom, they show cartoons and there's free cereal.
That is fantastic. I'm sorry that you're having to miss
No. I can get cereal anytime I want. I'm an adult.
that.
I could have breakfast for dinner if I wanted to. I can do whatever I want. And then another thing that makes Bash so unique, although I have not actually been to this, Ron Adams, who puts this together, I guess, many, many years ago, realized that a lot of people who go to the bash are practicing Catholics. So Sunday morning in the main ballroom, they have a mass.
Wow.
Yeah, so that you don't have to seek out a church. And the priest, I guess, is the same every year. Let me see if I can find this. Yes, Father Mike. And, you can just stay in the hotel and go to Sunday Mass, which is very cool.
That's excellent. What is the I know different conventions kind of have a different demographic. If that makes sense, does this skew like more family? Is it more like older monster movie fans?
Very much family, very much older fans, not at all the Fangoria. Tattoos and piercing, vampires are real. I drink blood every night. Crowd.
My people.
In fact, looking around, I thought it was interesting because I'm always complaining that monster fans are getting older and not being replaced by younger monster fans. Monster Bash seems to me to be the last best hope of getting young people interested in the hobby because there really are people from every age group. Wonderfest is probably the second most family friendly, but I would have to say that Monster Bash is the most family friendly. I mean, look at it. They're giving away cereal this morning. What else can you do to get the young people involved?
And so what kind of stuff is on the agenda for today?
Well, again, it's so hard to pick and eat. But I think the highlights of today are going to be Claudia Barrett and Greg Moffat are two of the guests, and they are the stars of a film you may have heard of called Robot Monster.
I am familiar with Robot Monster, yes.
And in fact, I just downloaded to my Kindle, someone just wrote a book about the making of Robot Monster.
Is it a very short book?
I don't know. I didn't look at the page count yet. I just downloaded it because it was cheap, and the book is called I Must, Yet I Cannot. That is the title of the book because that's one of the, for those of you unfamiliar with Robot Monster, the man from outer space is played by a man in a gorilla suit with a space helmet.
Yeah.
And he's Ro-Man.
It's one of the all-time great movie monsters.
And I cannot wait to hear them talk about what it was like to make that film. I have a feeling it was a very short shooting schedule. In fact, yesterday, Jimmy Hunt said the original Invaders from Mars was filmed in 3.5 weeks.
All right. That's actually kind of long, don't you think? I mean, well, compared to
Three and a half.
movies now get like 12 days.
Oh, see, but I think he's comparing it to like a big budget Hollywood film,
Well, sure. Okay.
not like a little independent film.
Yeah, right.
Because he said just his stuff in the remake took longer longer than 3.5 weeks.
I remember watching the original on like a Saturday afternoon with my brother and being actually kind of freaked out by it, which honestly didn't happen that much. I grew up watching horror movies and they were very rarely scary to me, but that one was.
Freaked out by the whole thing where clearly the kid is on target and no one will believe him, or freaked out by the little head in the bubble, or just by the whole thing.
I think by the whole, yeah, by the whole idea that maybe like your something is coming and taking away your parents and turning them into something else, you know? I think it was more kind of the paranoia of it.
In fact, just touching on Invaders from Mars, Jimmy Hunt told one other great story that there's a scene in the film where his father hits him.
Okay.
And he actually got hit because he missed his mark and he wasn't in the right place. And basically, Leif Erikson, who played his father, belted him. And he fell to the ground and they stopped filming and they wanted to make sure he was okay. But the first thing he remembers is the director yelling, "Cut, print." And that's the one in the film.
Well, that's karma for screwing up so many Red Skelton takes.
Karma's a bitch. And then Greg Menke, who's been writing about classic horror films forever, he wrote the best book about Frankenstein movies called It's Alive. I don't think it's still in print. And then he wrote a wonderful book about Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. And it's sort of an in-depth look at the films they made together, but it also sort of stands as a biography of both men. That was just recently republished. He's here, and I've never met him before, and I can't wait because I want to get my book signed. But at 3 o'clock, they're showing the film of The Body Snatcher, the Robert Wise film with Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. And then, I'm sorry, before the film, Mank is going to sort of do a lecture PowerPoint on the making of the film.
Cool.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm here. I really want to see it. And his new book is out, which is a production history of The Black Cat and all the fun they had making that Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff film. So I guess that's his wheelhouse. Although a couple years ago, he published a book called The Hollywood Hellfire Club about these famous movie stars in the 30s and 40s who would get together, get drunk, and raise hell.
Because there are. Go ahead.
I'm about halfway through that book, and it's enlightening to say the least.
Because there are 15 different movies called The Black Cat, what is the Boris Karloff Bela Lugosi movie? Is it The Black Cat or The Raven? The really terrific one where Lugosi is basically the hero.
That's The Black
That
Cat.
is The Black Cat. Okay.
And spoiler alert, but the film was made 90 years ago. I'm sorry, 80 years ago. That's the film that ends with Bela Lugosi skinning Boris Karloff alive.
Yep. And he's the good guy.
And one of the things that the new Greg Mank book goes into is the way Edgar Ulmer, the director, originally envisioned the film. It was going to be even more far out than that in terms of pushing limits and crossing lines, and Universal and the Joe Breen production code sort of put the kibosh on that. But I'm about halfway through that book because I downloaded it first onto my Kindle, and no one does production histories better than Mank, and I'm very much looking forward to that lecture. And then, much later, as I mentioned to you before, they turned the parking lot into a drive-in, and they're going to, and not just, sit in the grass, but you can actually sit in your car and watch the film. I guess the screen is large enough, and they're going to show the monster that challenged the world.
Yes.
And they're showing that because one of the guests is in the film, and she's going to introduce it, and it's Audrey Dalton, and can't wait for that too.
I haven't seen that movie
I
in a few
don't think I'll
years.
make it, and I saw it so long ago, probably in the afternoon on Channel 32, that I don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't remember loving it, but.
I don't think I'm going to make it till the end, but I guess the tradition is at the end of Saturday night at the back. someone leads the audience in the Festival of the New Wine song from Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman.
Oh.
One of the few Universal horror films with a musical number. And they throw things at the guest. In the program, it says there's a free prize toss featuring magazines, DVDs, and Blu-rays. Warning, if you do not wish to be hit with flying free stuff, do not attend this event. And whenever I read something like that, I think, well, that's in the program because of something that happened in previous years. Like someone got hit on the noggin
by a
particularly heavy magazine and complained or something. I don't know if I'm going to make it to the Festival of the New Wine because it's after my bedtime. But
I'm laughing now at somebody complaining and then the disclaimer. Well, if you didn't want to be hit, you shouldn't have come.
And ready for this, the warning is in red ink.
Well, of course.
You can't miss the warning. So actually they just released next year. Oh, it's right here. Next year, Monster Bash is having an anniversary. It's their 20th year, which is really good for any convention. And it's June 23rd to the 25th, 2017. It's at the Doubletree Hotel in Mars, Pennsylvania. If anyone within the sound of my voice thinks that anything that I'm babbling on and on about sounds interesting, you really owe it to yourself to attend Monster Bash. I'm having a hell of a time.
Do you ever attend these conventions with like a holy grail in terms of like something that you're looking for in the dealer's room, or is it just you kind of browse and if you see something you like, you get it?
I think a long time ago there were things I had it in my head that I would find, but now it's more like browsing. I'm convinced that one day in a dealer's room somewhere, I will find Boris Karloff alive. And he will talk to me and offer me a free autograph, which will make my life complete. No, as you know, I've been to a lot of conventions and at one point was sort of suffering from convention burnout. But this one's been great. Am I conveying that?
I feel like you are.
I don't often have a good time, but I am having a very good time this weekend. Also, the weather's wonderful, and something you forget when you live in Illinois, the prairie state, Pennsylvania actually has like hills and mountains and valleys and interesting things. Just the topography of the land as I was driving here from the airport was delightful. It's like I wanted to slow down and drive slower. But it's wonderful. And sometimes you forget that when you finally get out of the house, that it's not just the same mall and the same McDonald's, that there are regional differences.
You're going to be back on, I know, tonight to talk about what you saw today, which is very, very
exciting.
I saw
a naked lady.
Yeah.
she was naked.
I saw a baby drive a truck.
Oh, what is that from? It's from some cartoon?
No, it's the first line of a Weird Al song that my son heard in the car one day and just thought it was so funny. And now both of my children are constantly saying like, hey, you know what I saw? And I'll say, what? And they'll say, I saw a baby drive a truck.
Because I've heard your daughter say it several times. And I was trying to place it. Tonight, when I come back from the bash, I'm going to be on with Doug, right?
Yes.
I'm looking forward to that. I have not spoken with Doug in a while.
It is delightful.
To talk to him?
Speaking with Doug, I mean.
I thought when the two of you get together, there really wasn't much talk. It was more action.
Yeah, I suppose so. I should briefly mention, excuse me, guys, I still am getting over a cold and thought when I had the cold over 2 weeks ago that, well, I'll be fine by July 9th. Turns out, no, my body refuses to heal. On the YouTube live page, which I guess if you just go to fthismovie.net and you click through where the little player is, it'll take you directly to the YouTube live page. On the right side, there's like a chat function, and people are doing it up, basically, like live commenting, live blog, whatever you want to call it, the podcast-a-thon thus far. So there's a lively discussion about mostly penises, it appears, thus far. So not to scare you guys off.
Why are they talking about penises?
I don't know, because I haven't been able to really follow along, but every once in a while I look over and I'll see a reference to dick talk. And
but we have not engaged in dick talk.
You and I have not, no, but I think in the chat area, chat room, chat whatever, that for some, I think they're off script. I think they're not talking about what we're talking about. They just want to talk about penises.
Okay, this is a direct address to all the penis people. Why not stop talking about penises and go to the GoFundMe page and give a donation to a really good cause? Give till it hurts.
I like where your head is at. I mean,
it's true. I resisted calling up the YouTube live stream or the F This Movie page with the link because I was afraid, because I'm technophobic, that somehow it would use too much of the hotel's bandwidth and the Skype would break down or something. Is it just a black screen or are you putting stuff up?
There's like a little, our F Breast Cancer logo, I believe. And then it's, yeah, there's no video or anything, but, there were issues when we first began, which I won't even get into explaining, but the player that was embedded on our site was not the correct live stream. And so Doug was frantically behind the scenes fixing it at 6 a.m. California time. So thank you for being awake early, man. Doug. Yeah, I know. I had to tell my kids, like, kids, no Netflix today. We can't put any strain on the Wi-Fi. Daddy's got to talk for 18 hours.
Can you imagine when we get to the point where Wi-Fi whizzes through the air like radio signals and it never doesn't work and you will sound like grandpa telling your kids about bandwidth and about sometimes in the past nothing worked right. It never worked. For a time we were thinking about doing the podcast-a-thon with two paper cups and a string.
Well, believe me, there were times this week where we were close. You had mentioned
but you have to wax the string. Wax the string. Pull the string. Nice. Pull the string. This makes me happy that I'm not watching the live feed because it would be distracting.
You had mentioned the GoFundMe page, which again has been up for a couple of weeks. And the idea is today that while we are live podcasting, that we are inspiring people to go and donate. We will keep referencing it, obviously, throughout the day. And the idea being, you know, kind of that Jerry Lewis telethon mentality. The longer we're on the air, the more you should feel like, hey, I should donate to keep this going. But one thing I wanted to do...
Timpani?
Now can you sing You'll Never Walk Alone?
When you walk through the storm, keep your head up high.
Maybe I should wait till the end for you to do that. So one thing I wanted to do, though,
you'll never walk alone.
Early on,
lady,
is mention those who have donated thus far. So I'm going to read through, you know, there's been a bunch of GoFundMe donations, but I want to read those off early on so that people get credit. And then throughout the day, as people are donating, I will do my best to stay on top of it and, announce those who have donated. Mark Munson, thank you for your donation. JM Vargas, thank you very, very much. JM Vargas donated $500 to the cause of breast cancer research. Which
JM, thank you so much. That's so generous of you.
Unbelievable. Thank you. And I promise, I know that JM has expressed that he was concerned he wasn't going to hear the whole podcast. I'm doing my best to have an archive of it so that I can post as many of these as possible as individual episodes.
We love you, JM. If necessary, I will deliver CDs of the entire day to your door.
Cynthia Sertz, Michael Piccoli, Mark Heinz, Melissa Earn, F This Movie's Own Melissa Earn, Agatha Apaka, Kyle Lowry, Adam Risky's parents, who are just billed as Risky's parents, Mardiana Calpito, for a donation. Eric Asperschlager from F This Movie, Charles Cavazos, Kelly Shea, Josh Perlman for your incredibly generous donation of $250. Thank you. Zach Downey, Bill and Leslie Daly, Oliver Schaefer, Teresa Finnegan, Saul Ott, Ryan Ziolko. We have an anonymous donation of $50. Shane Kelly, Mike Pomero from F This Movie, Tom Manser, Brett Cullum, Adam Thaz from F This Movie, Kendall Rodheim, Alexa's sister, Gyro B or Hyro B from the True Bromance podcast, Greg D from the Nerds of Nostalgia podcast, Sonia Mansfield from the Dorking Out podcast, Miko Vinica, Chaby B, Gilbert, Mark On from F This Movie, Chris Johnston, Scott Drebit, Anonymous, Thomas Jacobs, Brina Balian. I'm still going, everyone. We had a lot of donations. Ike Odin, Crystal Guerrero, my sister, Becca Bromley, Shannon Briggs, my mom, Kate Cannon from F This Movie, Valerie Wallace, an anonymous donation, Rick S, Luke Ciancio, a very generous anonymous donation of $200, Doug Schultz from F This Movie, another very generous donation of $250, Rob DiCristino from F This Movie, and Dennis Atherton. Thank you all for donating. Please, please, please continue to donate. If nothing else, you'll get to hear your name spoken on the air. And what a treat that is. Look, this worked. Meredith Kwok just donated. So this is working because we just received another donation. So thank you.
We very much appreciate all of your donations and your generosity. All of you are the bestiest.
It is true, and 100% of your donations are going directly to the Magnolia Tree Foundation to raise research and awareness for breast cancer and a specific type of, it's not that it's a specific type of breast cancer, but it's a specific type of research. It's the BRCA1 gene that, if present, can provide early detection of breast cancer, which is kind of what you were talking about early on. In the podcast.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So
I suppose at some point you and I should donate, huh?
I mean, yeah, sure. why not?
You're reading all those names and it's like, there are two people conspicuously absent.
Well, you never know who those anonymous people are. This is very exciting because into the F This Movie studio now, is entering, this one is probably better, is your wife, Jay Bones, Jan.
Hey, Jenny.
She's not here yet. She doesn't have her headphones on yet, so she can't hear you, but I think now she can hear, maybe. Are you hearing anything, Jan?
Hi, Jenny.
Yay. Hi, babe. How you doing?
Oh, my God. Get a room, you two.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, you have a room.
This is our room now.
I have a room, but no one to share it with.
Thank God. You know, actually, I love when he goes to these conferences without me because he has a great time, and I'd probably just be a drag, and he has a great time. But it's horrible when he comes home because then it's like every night before bed, he's like, where's my magic show? Where's my... Where's my gorilla with a space hat on? What do you want for dinner? Cereal. Hi, honey. How was your day? You broke my little skate.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. For those of you doing callback bingo, Jan just won. Which is, I assume, a real game.
I actually made notes on some of the movies I want to talk with. I don't know where they are.
Oh, shoot.
If they're not upstairs, maybe they're in my car. I don't know.
If it makes you feel better,
yeah.
I'm doing 18 hours, 100% note-free.
I noticed you have no notes here. The only... Oh, it's not locked. Please, we live in Schaumburg. Mm-hmm. On the way here, I passed a boy on a bicycle with a fishing rod. And I'm like, where are we, Mayberry? I'm usually not early in the morning.
Whistling and whatnot.
No, honey.
Jan, I'm going to mess with your level a little bit, so keep talking. I'm going to try to turn you up a little bit.
Hey, babe, you might be in Pennsylvania at an awesome film conference, but I'm here in Schaumburg where Patrick Bromley is messing with my levels.
I think we've spoken about this, Patrick. And, I will not. I will brook no dissension. Please leave my wife's levels alone. My wife's levels are exactly. I want to come home and find those levels exactly where I left.
I want to quickly mention, I did glance over and look at some of the comments. Lots of excitement over Jan, by the way,
why?
in the comments.
I can't but, imagine why, but
Rick,
thank you all.
Rick comments, it's Jan of halfway through the movie, my wife leaned over to me and said fame.
And at this point, I'm very, very frightened because, first of all, Jan just very accurately recreated what it's like in my house about 4 minutes
Where's
ago.
Where's my magic also, show? I want cereal?
That's right.
Yes.
And then... for the next hour or so, my reputation on the site is going to be completely deflated when every single person says, oh, well, she's the whole show. She's the whole show.
She's the brains gosh. Behind this operation. And now my
has done
lovely wife,
podcasts.
101. My lovely
JD
wife, Erica, has
podcasts.
Just, oh, sorry. My wife, Erica, has just discovered Jan's notes. And brought them down to the studio.
Thank Hi, everybody.
Erica,
Hi, Erica.
You are
Hi,
amazing.
Erica.
You have once again.
Oh, my God. Get a room.
I love you.
Leave my wife's levels alone. No, I was just going to say that that after 101 podcasts, people are going to finally realize that for 101 podcasts, I've basically paraphrased my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, here it goes.
Goodbye,
we're blowing the lid off of this thing.
Goodbye. good night everybody. Dropping the mic.
Well, you know, Johnny, I'm sure you'll back me up on this. F this movie has really become an important part of our lives, that we, you know, we talk about what's on the what the other columnists are writing, and we get a lot of our movie recommendations from you guys, and you know, we just love to participate in the events like at this movie fest. And
did I tell you about this live podcast-a-thon that we're doing?
No.
You should totally
kind of awesome.
Participate. I just Why? Need to figure out how to do it.
Why are you doing something like that? Why would you? What would you possibly?
Charity. We're raising money for the Magnolia Tree Foundation.
The Magnolia Tree Foundation. I've heard of that.
Yes.
And it's something that's important to me.
Yes. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Oh, my God. Stop interrupting, JB.
When you say F this movie has become an important part of our lives.
Yes.
Define lives.
It's the part where we're not tripping on skates and eating cereal. It's okay. Pretty much what we do.
Skates is some cool new drug, right?
Yes.
That only you guys do? Sorry, dude. I was totally tripping on
when
skates.
When you take it, the jargon is, oh, I'm tripping on a whittle skate.
All right, Jay Bones, anything you want to add before you sign off for many, many hours, only to return way too late, because you're an hour later than I am, right?
Yes.
So you're coming back at 1 a.m. your time?
I believe so. That'll give me time to see the drive-in thing. Please.
Let's see what's important.
Please consider donating for the charity, and it's very, very wonderful to hear your voice, sweetie, and I will be home tomorrow, and I'm going back to the bash, and good luck to everyone on the rest
Thanks,
of the podcast.
Babe.
I'll be back tonight.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Have a great time, honey. I love you.
I think
I love
you're
you,
okay. All right, bye. I'll talk to you later, J-Bones. Thanks for being here.
Bye-bye.